Welcome everyone to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I'm so happy you are here. It's good to see everyone. If you want to, before we do our meditation, if you just want to get your book ready, we are reading part 11, How is Peace Possible in This World in the Manual for Teachers. It's page 1603 in the CE and I believe page 29 in the FIP edition.
30 in the sparkle.
What's that?
30 in the sparkle.
Oh, thank you. 30 in the sparkle. I love the sparkle edition. I wish they still, I don't think it's in print anymore.
No, but it's on my phone.
Ah, lovely. I have the PDF on my computer, so I guess it's still shareable, but I don't think they print the books anymore. Oh, all right. So let's begin with a meditation. And I'm just going to make sure that we are all muted and that everybody can unmute yourself as needed. All right. Let's begin. If you're able, allowing your eyes to close. And there is so much out there in the world that seeks to capture our attention, and pull our energy and our attention out there. Right now, as best we can, let's just turn our attention from without to within. Imagine that we're dropping down into a space in our own mind that's shared by everyone here and beyond. It's a collective dropping in, knowing that our minds are joined. Your willingness helps me. My willingness helps you. Our willingness helps one another. We do not walk alone, as we have physical mighty companions and non-physical mighty companions closer than we realize. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And I invite you to just take some deep breaths. And trusting that we will hear what we need to hear or share what we are called to share. And slowly allowing your eyes to open as we come together to our perception of this time and place. Oh, so good to see all of you here. Thanks for your flexibility with my cancellation last week. It's good to be back. So, two quick announcements. My laptop is doing weird things. So if I suddenly disappear, like the battery sometimes doesn't charge and I need to get a new battery, I think. So if I just disappear, just hold on for a few minutes and I will call back in on my phone. And secondly, some of you know this already, and I did mention this before, but my From Anxiety to Love masterclass will be launching mid-October. So if you are interested in that, please keep an eye out. I'll mention it again down the road. I'll be sending things to your inbox if you're on my list and posting in the Facebook group as well. It was supposed to be completed about 16 months ago, but because of COVID, mainly because of COVID and well, a few other things that arose that caused a huge delay, It's just, I'm still, to be honest with you, I canceled last week because I'm just exhausted. I'm still recovering from having turned everything in on time on September 1st. So the class is amazing and I'm so super excited about it. Okay, so let's turn our attention again. We are reading in the Manual for Teachers, Part 11, How is Peace Possible in This World? It is page 1603 in the CE and page 29 in the FIP edition.
Corinne?
Yes.
If your laptop is having a challenge, if you set somebody as a co-host, won't go away if you drop out.
Andrea, can I make that be you?
Okay.
Thank you. Did it work?
Yeah.
Did you get a little? Okay, perfect. Thank you for that reminder. I always forget that. Yeah, I think I definitely need a new battery at my laptop. Pat, thank you for your email. I'll make a note of that. Okay. So let's begin. Isn't this a great question for right now? My goodness. How is peace possible in this world? So let's see what the course says. I love the manual, by the way. I just love these short little sections so much. How is peace possible in this world? This is a question everyone must ask. Certainly, peace seems to be impossible here. Yet the Word of God promises other things that seem impossible as well as this. His Word has promised peace. It has also promised that there is no death, that resurrection must occur, and that rebirth is man's inheritance. The world you see cannot be the world God loves, and yet His Word assures us that He loves the world. God's Word has promised us that peace is possible here, and what He promises can hardly be impossible. But it is true that the world must be looked at differently if His promises are to be accepted. What the world is but a fact. You cannot choose what this should be, but you can choose how you would see it. Indeed, you must choose this. I'll pause here. Something that strikes me just immediately about this first paragraph. So God's Word has promised all of these things that just seem like at times really out of reach, promising that there is no death when there's death, you know, seemingly all around us, that resurrection must occur. His Word has promised peace. And yet we're in such intense times. I don't know who has not felt shaken at some point with everything happening in the world. One thing that has struck me recently, I'm involved in a healing, an intensive healing familial relationship right now. And one thing that strikes me is how differently each of us has our perceptions. We each see things the same, being raised in the same family or working in the same workplace. The two different people can have a completely different interpretation of the exact same event. And with the healing that I'm involved in personally, and then thinking about that, just like, you know, two different perceptions that are both equally true for each of us, extend that, you know, into a bigger picture. And I mean, political division right now, division over the vaccine, like everybody has a perception that is true for them. And all we are all doing is digging our heels in further to our own perception. And what occurred to me the other day, it's all wrong. All of it. There's a quote in the course. I love this. It says, "It does not matter in the end whether you judge right or wrong. Either way, you are placing your belief in the unreal." So at some point, we all have to come to a point of being willing to drop it, of being willing to just drop our perception. Again, this doesn't mean that we have to be all kumbaya or that everybody has to see everything the same way, but it's that it's that moment like Bill and Helen had where there's got to be another way. We all can come to that moment of like recognizing that even though I see things my way and it's right for me, that there's some place to go even beyond that in terms of my perception. So all that to say, where we ended up in this paragraph, how it says, it is true that the world must be looked at differently if his promises are to be accepted. So we have to come to see the world differently, to accept these promises of God, to accept the word of God. The world is, it says, what the world is but a fact. You cannot choose what this should be, but you can choose how you would see it. Indeed, you must choose this. So the world, we know from the course, is an illusion and we can't change that, but we've made it very real for ourselves. And so we can choose how we see it. Now, just to also emphasize there, you can choose how you see it. Me alone as Corinne, I can't make that choice by myself. I need the Holy Spirit. Like Holy Spirit, again, is absolutely 100% everything. If we feel a lack of love towards someone, we can't force ourselves to love them, but we can lean on Jesus or the Holy Spirit and let Jesus or the Holy Spirit love that person for us. That's how little we are asked to do. And that's all I have to say. Any comments or questions so far? Anything coming up for anybody? Let's read another paragraph. This is paragraph number 2. Again, we come to the question of judgment. This time, ask yourself whether your judgment or the word of God is more likely to be true. For they say different things about the world and things so opposite that it is pointless to try to reconcile them. I want to read that one more time. Again, we come to the question of judgment. This time, ask yourself whether your judgment or the word of God is more likely to be true. For they say different things about the world and things so opposite that it is pointless to try to reconcile them. God offers the world salvation. Your judgment would condemn it. God says there is no death. Your judgment sees but death as the inevitable end of life. God's word assures you that he loves the world. Your judgment says it is unlovable. Who is right? For one of you is wrong. It must be so. Thank goodness I'm wrong. Thank goodness we're the ones that are wrong. When this paragraph brings us back to the question of judgment, is it your judgment, our judgment, or the word of God that is more likely to be true? This reminds me of that prayer that I've shared many times from the course. I have it right here on my wall. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. We cannot judge. It's the Holy Spirit who does the judgment for this. Take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Let me not see it as a sign of sin and death, nor use it for destruction. And I'll just finish it. Teach me how not to make of it an obstacle to peace, but instead let you use it for me to facilitate peace's coming. So what we see, we're giving to the Holy Spirit. We're saying, you judge for me and you use this to facilitate peace because I will use it to facilitate death. I will use it to facilitate destruction and you know, more ego, basically. So that quote also comes to mind with this this paragraph. It's also interesting to me too how it says, I like this sentence. Again, your judgment or the word of God, they say different things about the world and things so opposite that it is pointless to try to reconcile them. It's where we can't bring, what is it? Truth to illusion. We have to bring illusion to the truth while recognizing that we are in a process of coming to experientially know this. Any comments or questions or insights so far? Yeah, Lorraine, I love that prayer. It is so helpful. Ah. So far, so good. Okay, we'll keep reading. Paragraph number 3. Here we go with the Holy Spirit. The text explains that the Holy Spirit is the answer, the capital A answer, to all problems you have made. I'm pausing here. Remember from Earl Purdy, when the Course says all or every or always, it means it. So here we go again. The text explains that the Holy Spirit is the answer to all problems you have made. These problems are not true, but that is meaningless to those who believe in them. And everyone believes in what he made, for it was made by his believing it. Into this strange and paradoxical situation, one without meaning and devoid of sense, yet out of which no way seems possible, God has sent his judgment to answer yours. Gently, his judgment substitutes for yours. And through this substitution is the ununderstandable given understanding and peace. How is peace possible in this world? In your judgment, it is not possible and can never be possible. But in the judgment of God, what is reflected here is only peace. You know, I'll just share this really quick because it just bubbled up to the surface of my mind. These last few sentences, how is peace possible in this world? In your judgment, it is not possible. It can never be possible. But in the judgment of God, what is reflected here is only peace. That can seem so far out there when we're experiencing anything, right? That's where it comes down to there's another way of seeing it. There's another way of looking at it. There's something else in us, the Holy Spirit, that can judge for us. I can think of a time I've shared with you all that story. It's in my book. I've shared it so many times. The one about the nurse where I had to get the blood work and the nurse was like, don't you pass out on me. And I did almost. And then I had to go get more lab work. And I was like, I want to see Witnesses for Love. And a college sweet mate's mom ended up being at this outpatient clinic of a hospital. And she got called in 30 minutes before I showed up. There have been times, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this or if you can like think, or if this just like resonates, because it can be very, very subtle, but there have been times that I can think of like in some of the most difficult moments that I've been through with anxiety, with fear, that there's still an awareness. It's almost like stepping into that observer role where the observer is at peace, even though my body's still experiencing anxiety or chaos or whatever it is. It's my stepdad used to call it just like the split, like becoming aware of the split, that there's part of us that is at peace, even if we're not, if that makes sense, a deeper part of us that's at peace, even if the surface part of the mind is not peaceful at all. Any comments or questions so far? Paula, you're off mute. Did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah. This footnote 92 says, we once said that the Holy Spirit is the answer. He is the answer to everything because he knows what the answer to everything is. The Holy Spirit will answer very specific problem as long as you believe the problems are specific. That's a little, I don't understand that. I mean, what's your take on that?
So good question. So, okay. So for those of you who are in the CE edition, we have footnotes. If you're reading from the FIP edition or the Sparkle, there are no footnotes. This footnote, I want to read those quotes again. So this is quoting some passages from the text. The first quote, we once said that the Holy Spirit is the answer. He's the answer to everything because he knows what the answer to everything is. So let's start with that first one. The Holy Spirit, it's almost like what I just said before. I can't truly love, let's say, somebody who, you know, whatever, having a difficulty with. triggers me, whatever. I can't truly love them, but I can lean on the Holy Spirit to love them. I can lean on Jesus to love them. The Holy Spirit knows that what the answer to everything is, because the Holy Spirit knows the truth. Like, the Holy Spirit is the voice for God and never loses sight of the truth beyond the form. That's where the Holy Spirit stays fixated, is just like the truth, you know, beyond the form. And that's always, always the answer. So that's my take on that first quote. The second one, the Holy Spirit will answer every specific problem as long as you believe that problems are specific. So literally every problem, I mean, this is saying that every specific problem that we have, the Holy Spirit will answer, because we think that there are multiple problems. The one problem that we have is the belief that we're separate. Like, our one problem is our belief in separation from God. But we don't just think that that's our only problem. We see like a multitude, you know, of problems out there. So the Holy Spirit answers all of these specific problems. And that might be through guidance. That might be just through, you know, tuning in and having a breath of fresh air, like a period of rest, some peace return. So it's pretty clear here that the Holy Spirit will answer every specific problem, but, you know, we're not always necessarily quiet enough to hear what that might be. Does that help, Paula?
Yeah. That last line seems so abstract to me. I'm not getting it.
Yeah, well. I feel like you're answering that. I feel like you've answered this question for yourself, though, so many times, because when you're like, the Holy Spirit is everything, like whatever we're talking about, you often, you know, bring us around to that truth that the Holy Spirit is everything. And that's what this is saying. The Holy Spirit is our way out of every problem that we have. It's the Holy Spirit is our way out to right-mindedness, you know, instead of staying in wrong-mindedness. The Holy Spirit is the way.
That word specific is throwing me.
Okay.
That, you know, as long as we believe that problems are specific.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, here's one other thought that comes to mind about that. It's a personal example, and I'll keep it like brief, but I've shared with you all that this summer has been quite an intensive warp speed healing journey for me, where literally multiple layers of like unhealed stuff have come up to the surface, like all at the same time, pretty much. And it was extremely intense for a very large part of the summer. I perceived all those different problems as all separate. The Holy Spirit was, I could call on the Holy Spirit with each concern. And by going through, like literally in some of these situations, diving in head first into discomfort with the Holy Spirit, like imagining that I'm holding the Holy Spirit's hand, things that I needed to look at were brought to the surface. That was how I found, like, it was almost as if there was like an orchestration for the way out of it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Good. Yeah. Thank you, Paula.
That helps.
Good. I'm glad. Dave.
I just found a section here in the Song of Prayer under True Prayer. It's paragraph number 2, and there's just a section that says, in prayer, there are decisions to make here, and they must be made whether they be illusions or not. You cannot be asked to accept answers which are beyond the level of need that you can recognize. Therefore, it is not the form of the question that matters, nor how it is asked. The form of the answer, if given by God, will suit your need as you see it. Mm. So I think that's the specifics that addresses our concept of what the specifics, you know, are.
Yeah.
In the problem.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect, Dave. Thank you for that. That's spot on with what we're talking about. Great quote. Wow. Thank you. Andrea. Sure.
Would another way to look at it be, I'm not sure, but as Paula was asking the question, it's like, yeah, I don't understand that either. And then when I heard you guys talking about it, I was wondering if it's like, while we continue to believe that problems are specific and individual, like I am cold and therefore Holy Spirit needs to help me see that that's not true, or I feel hungry and Holy Spirit helps me see that that's not true, or my foot hurts and Holy Spirit helps me see that that's not true. Mm-hmm. Like Holy Spirit comes in as these little specific answers, even though the big meta problem is just separation from God. So I could jump up to the big one and handle it all, or they can come in as little specific answers to specific problems, as long as I'm continuing to look at it that way.
Absolutely. Well said, Andrea. I really love your interpretation of that. That's really helpful. Yep. It makes total sense to me. Thank you for that. John.
I was just, I looked at the reference at that referenced in there, and it's in chapter 11. And it says in there that realize that you are afraid of the Holy Spirit's his specificity for fear of what you think it will demand of you. Yet only by asking will you learn that nothing is of God demands anything of you. So it says that we're afraid to even ask because we think we're going to have to give something up in return.
That fear of sacrifice.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. I love all these threads coming together from different parts of the book. That's addressing.
And that's in the section where it's, do I want the problem or do I want the answer?
Okay. Okay. It's like, yeah, we want the answer. Please answer. Thank you, John. Oh, and thank you, those of you in the chat who are helping whoever needs page references. Thank you so much. Awesome. Other thoughts, insights, questions? Okay, we'll keep reading. Unless I missed a hand. Nope. Okay. I think are we on paragraph 4 now? The last one? Yes. Okay, thank you. Peace is impossible to those who look on war. Peace is inevitable to those who offer peace. How easily then is your judgment of the world escaped? It is not the world that makes peace seem impossible. It is the world you see that is impossible. Yet has God's judgment on this distorted world redeemed it and made it fit to welcome peace. And peace descends on it in joyous answer. Peace now belongs here because the thought of God has entered. What else but a thought of God turns hell to heaven merely by being what it is? The earth bows down before its gracious presence, and it leans down in answer to raise it up again. Now is the question different. It is no longer, can peace be possible here? But instead, is it not impossible that peace be absent here? Those lines, it is not the world that makes peace seem impossible. It is the world you see that is impossible. Yet has God's judgment on this distorted world redeemed it and made it fit to welcome peace. That word distorted really strikes me because it just makes me think of how we're looking out through the body's eyes, which are the ego's glasses, essentially. And it's almost like the body is a whole distortion device. Like just being in perception limited to a brain is a distortion of truth of love. It, you know, our bodies, I shared this with you all, I think 2 weeks ago, about like the miracle impulses and how we squash them down. Like we play that game whack-a-mole. And the course talks about how sex impulses are distorted miracle impulses. So we've got layers and layers of distortion. And yet it clearly says that God's judgment on this distorted world has redeemed it and made it fit to welcome peace. So our small part, again, is to turn toward the Holy Spirit, to lean on the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit see and judge for us. And in doing so, how can we not offer peace? That's what automatically flows. Insights, questions, comments. We good? We can keep reading. That was kind of a short section, only four paragraphs. Let's move on. We're going to read, let's start with part 12. We'll start part 12. Maybe we'll get through it. Maybe it'll continue into next week. We shall see. But part 12 is how many teachers of God are needed to save the world? Same title in both books. Let's dive in. The answer to this question is one. One holy, perfect teacher whose learning is complete suffices. This one, sanctified and redeemed, becomes the capital S self, who is the Son of God. He who was always Holy Spirit now no longer sees himself as a body or even as in a body. Therefore, he is limitless, and being limitless, his thoughts are joined with God's forever and ever. His perception of himself is based upon God's judgment, not his own. Thus does he share God's will and bring his thoughts to still deluded minds. He is forever one because he is as God created him. He has accepted Christ and he is saved. So, of course, I believe this is referring to Jesus. I'm just noticing that there's a footnote and I'm just glancing at that. Yeah, which implies the above paragraph was fulfilled in Jesus, which ironically means that Jesus himself accepted Christ and was, quote unquote, saved. One of the sentences that really jumps out at me in this paragraph is that his perception of himself is based on God's judgment, not his own. And can we all just step into that for a moment for ourselves? We judge ourselves all the time and really well. Like we do the judgment thing really good, right? And instead of that, can we just even for a moment base our perception upon God's judgment, which is that we are whole and innocent and pure and eternal, like even just like for a split second, just imagining what it's like for our perception of ourselves to be based upon God's judgment and not our own. I just think that that's really beautiful and really, really powerful.
Corinne.
Yes.
I just had a thought. Just going back to that line, Spirit will answer every specific problem as long as you believe that problems are specific. The problem is we think there is a problem.
Right.
There is no problem. Problems aren't really specific. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be dealt with. It's our perception. Mm-hmm. That's the only problem we have, is this crazy way we perceive things, mm-hmm. and judge ourselves. Yeah, Corinne, the Holy Spirit is the answer no matter what the question.
Yep. Yep, because again, we've made it real already. Realizing that there is no problem is not I think where most of us, you know, are. It seems like there's a heck of a lot of problems in the world, and so within the problems are built in the fabric of the problem, whatever the problem is, the Holy Spirit has rewritten time, and we can find our way through that problem, you know, with the Holy Spirit's guidance to come to learn like an absolute truth like that, you know, that there is no problem. And that's where we can't bypass. That's where we're like, we need to be a happy learner going through our lessons, I'm really learning that lesson right now of going through, and I've been all summer, but, you know, going through lessons, being in the discomfort or whatever, you know, the feeling may be, that within that is embedded our success, even within that. Like when we go into something that have been avoiding because it's too painful, by diving headfirst with the Holy Spirit, we can actually heal and find our way out. If we're doing it with the Holy Spirit, if we're doing it with the ego, it's just going to make the problem more real. And we're just going to feel stuck and like we're, you know, just making the problem more real. But if we're doing it with Holy Spirit, that's that changing course, that different script, so to say, of finding our way out and finding our way into healing. Thank you, Paula. Andrea.
Hi. This is my first time here. This is so awesome.
Welcome.
I'm really excited. I have a question about what you just said. So I just read, let me just look at my notes so I can reference it. Sorry to take a moment.
No problem.
You're distorted. This is from the text. Your distorted perceptions produce a dense cover over miracle impulses, making it hard for them to reach your own awareness. Mm-hmm. So my question is this, like when I am like in the shadow storm and it is all coming up and it is like hell, mm-hmm. which is how it usually feels to me. I can feel that there's a dense cover and my perception. And so in that moment, I don't quite know how to have, I mean, I'll be like, Holy Spirit, I mean, I'll be like insane asking help, help, you know, but I can feel that there's something, it's too chaotic. I can't reach what's always available. So I don't just like your words on that. You know, how do we, when you're in that, just that place where, you know, it's very, whatever's being detoxed is very intense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you work with it?
Really great question. I've been there. I've touched that. I've been there this summer. How I worked with it, I'll give you my most recent, you know, experience in how I worked with that. This actually has grown out of conversations with Uma, who's here. I think it's lesson 109, I rest in God. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to give you like a super short version of the story and bring in just like what Uma has shared with me. That lesson speaks to how that is the answer to everything, like resting in God. And what sort of spontaneously came up for me, I've shared on this call previously that in all of the intensity, I started having experiences of the Black Madonna and sensing her as the earth and like going outside and literally laying in my grass to feel like the earth beneath me, like to rest and to feel my body relax as I'm like laying, I'm usually on a sheet, but like laying on the ground. And when Uma and I started chatting about this and Uma started, I'm sorry, I'm like sharing a little bit, Uma, of what you said, but like, you know, your practice of resting in God was really inspiring to me that when I'm anxious and just anxiety in general, this is all Uma, what I've learned from Uma. I'm like collapsed in my front body. I'm very aware of this part of me. And so the resting, and I shared on the computer screen several weeks ago, like an actual, figure of the Madonna in my tree where I meditate, and having that and picturing her, one of the ways that she's known in many different ways. So the Black Madonna doesn't have one identity. She has many identities, one of which is Mother Earth herself. So laying on the earth, and this is all Uma, feeling the entirety, like as I lay there on the ground, and I feel the ground beneath me. And I imagine that this ground extends out and it's this huge, enormous planet that I'm laying on. And this is all Uma. That is like God holding us. Like that is rest. That is just like I can rest on top of this planet. That is like I can rest in God. That's one of the many things that I've taken from my conversations with Uma. So the resting, it was almost like I stopped trying to get out of that swirl and just rest. And that is almost like a reset. Because I would feel my body relax. I would feel like everything relax. And I even, if you go to the web edition of A Course in Miracles, which is published by the Foundation for Inner Peace, there's an audio symbol at the top of each lesson. You can play lesson 109 and listen to it while you're resting. Like you can literally absorb the words while you're laying down. Now, I love doing this outside because I now connect with the earth, like, you know, Mother Earth, as if she's holding me, but like just sensing gravity in a chair, in a bed, on the couch, like same, you know, same thing, just sensing that enormity of the planet holding you just like God holds you. So that's how I've most recently been working with that. Other ways that I have worked with that in the past, journal dumping, like literally getting out every single fear and every single worry and every single concern that's swirling around in my head. Dumping it out on paper and, you know, getting it out till I feel like I've reached a clearing, almost like getting through the weeds until like I reached a field, dumping everything out until I'm like, okay, that's all of my concerns right there on this, you know, big long list. And now, you know, Holy Spirit, there's got to be a better way. And usually at that point, I'll even start doing maybe some guided writing where I imagine, like, what does Holy Spirit want me to know right now? And I'll start writing with my pen something, you know, some powerful words that feel like divinely inspired. So it's like guided writing. So those are just two ways that have helped me. But I have to assure you that you called it that dense cover, that you called it like hell, like a shadow storm. Like I so get it. And I promise you that within that is still the way out. Like that is not a sign of, you know, backpedaling or backtracking or like relapse, like none of this, it's all, every time it comes up, it's like another layer of it coming up specifically for healing. We are on the moment we said yes to the course, forget the course. The moment we said yes to the Holy Spirit, the moment we said yes to Jesus, whoever, God, whoever it is that you want to, you know, refer to, that moment that we said yes, our path changed. I'm getting emotional. Like our path changed from a descent into hell where we just stay there to at least now having moments of respite in what can feel like, you know, an ongoing sense of hell. But if this, please borrow my confidence, borrow the Holy Spirit's confidence, like lean on the Holy Spirit. If what I'm saying, you know, about our success being guaranteed feels like it's out of reach, what I have learned from this summer is that in the most challenging times, like Jesus is still there, Holy Spirit is still there, and being unafraid of what is coming up is, or at least if we're afraid, at least again, calling on Holy Spirit and imagining whatever, that we're holding Spirit's hand, however we want to imagine it. But I found the less that I'm afraid of that ick, that difficulty, the clearer, at least the glimpses come to me that like, this is still exactly where I'm supposed to be in my growth and learning. Like this is not in vain. I'm not just torturing myself. Like this is like, you know, more opportunities for healing, more layers that we need to look at. And one of the things that I'll say too, is that I remember years and years ago, Nook Sanchez, who's another course person, she's been one of my teachers for many years. She spoke about coming face to face with like that unconscious guilt. And I remember her, she may have been in Israel at this time. I don't know her story or details or anything, but I remember her saying that it felt like it was going to crush her. And in those moments when I've had those like really intense feelings of like, oh my gosh, you know, where it feels like it's going to crush you, remembering that number one, it can't, nothing can change the truth about us. And number two, it's an opportunity again to look at face to face of like that unconscious fear and guilt that we've made. And it seems at times insurmountable. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why resting in God is the answer to everything. As the lesson says, it's the answer to everything that will confront you, that we can just rest in God and rest in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can love for us. Rest in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can forgive for us. So does any of that help, Andrea?
Yeah. I mean, I think it helps. And I think what I do, I like sort of have like a second arrow that I hit myself with, which is like, oh, somehow I'm not doing it right. It's like the layer of perfectionism also slips in there. It's like, and so, but I think just sometimes it feels like I'm just, the amount of poison in the egoic mind, it is just, it's horrifying. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. sometimes I'm just like, oh my God, this is, I don't know. It's just very disturbing. Mm-hmm. And I look around and everyone seems fine. And then I feel crazy. So, I mean, I think that's just sort of what happens for me. So I end up feeling like extra isolation because I feel, wow, everyone just seems to be super cool and doing it and not doing the course, just doing life. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, whoa, my mind is filled with like toxic sludge. This mm-hmm. is so intense. So I don't mean to dominate, but that's just sort of,
no, I really appreciate you sharing, Andrea. I really, really do. And you're absolutely right. Like that second arrow that we can all do. I know I've done it too, is like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing it right. And this is where I always say, we have to allow ourselves to be where we are. We have to allow ourselves to be where we are, because that moment that we start thinking I'm not doing it right, I shouldn't still be feeling this way, we're already headbutting the ego. Like we're just meeting the resistance or the fear with more fear, or you know, the fear with more resistance, however you want to say it. When we can instead ease into, I'm going to let myself be where I am. This sucks right now. Like this is awful. This is hell right now, but this is where I am, and I am accepting where I am. Everybody, you know, I used to wonder, like, it seems like people who aren't doing the course are so happy. Like they just have these happy little lives, you know, they're like, and you know, that's not the case. Like the beauty of having a pathway like this is that it gives us a map in understanding what it is, you know, that's coming up, why it's coming up, what part of our mind it's coming up from. I do think that, well, you're not alone. You're absolutely not alone at all. And I don't know one. Yeah. Nobody has.
Well,
it all together,
it's just why, sure, I'm here. And I want to thank, just, I feel so grateful to be in a community of people willing to look at their minds. And it feels like the most radical and cool and difficult, and thank God we can do it, thing, right, that we could be doing. So yeah, I'm just grateful.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you so much. And I'll just share one more thing before, Aaron, I'll turn it over to you. I gave a talk for, I don't know if anybody knows Aaron Abke or Mark Anthony Lord, but they're doing a program together. And I was just a guest speaker in their program. And I was talking about some anxiety tools. And one of the anxiety tools is owning the ick, like literally not being afraid to look at the fearful, shadow, icky, judgmental, attack thoughts, like all that gross stuff that we'd rather keep out of awareness. When we push it out of awareness, it doesn't make it go away. What makes it go away is bringing it to, like, letting it be exposed in the light of the Holy Spirit, you know, bringing it to the Holy Spirit. And that's how we find our way through. So that ickiness, it's actually a blessing that we are aware of it. And one of the things that I will say too, is that those of us who are sensitive to fear and anxiety, we have a gift for being able to easily recognize fear. Being able to easily recognize fear is an asset in healing, because if you don't have that awareness of like, oh, this is fear, because sometimes people don't, sometimes they just lash out and they get angry and it's like unidentified that it's fear. When we know it's fear, that's an asset, because now we can do something about it. We can be talking to the Holy Spirit. We can be talking to Jesus. So anyway, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Aaron.
Well, it's kind of got some distance from when Andrea was talking about the feeling she has, but I want to add a ditto and say that that's the, your description has come the closest that I've heard anybody come to how I feel about it. There are some times when I feel like if I never heard of the course, I would at least think I'm happier. You know what I mean? Because the challenge, a lot of times the course is not a comfort to me, it's a threat. But I cannot push it away simply because it's a threat, because it just makes too much sense. So it's like a, you know, it's like I've been put in a boarding school that I can't leave. and that's not the course's fault. That's an ego problem. But I just wanted to, you were sounding like I do, like I feel like I'm the only one. And I just wanted to say that no, it's, you know, at least the way you described it was pretty on to where my mind is. I have fear that's disabling. There are a lot of things that I should be doing, even simple things that I'm afraid to do right now. And they're all mixed in with the questioning of their very validity, because it's a world of illusion and I can't forget that. Anyway, I just wanted to offer my empathy.
Thank
and
you,
sympathy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Steve, I see your hand.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. Let me see if I can get that thing to go away. You know, when you were talking earlier to what Andrea was talking about, this first paragraph to me right in the middle has the biggest reminder of what and who we really are. You know, he who is always Holy Spirit now no longer sees himself as a body or even as in a body. Therefore, he is limitless. And being limitless, his thoughts are joined with God's forever and ever. And oh my God, I mean, when we read that and then you guys started sharing, I just felt myself just kind of exploding, you know, into this limitless, that we don't have to participate in our own bullshit, excuse me, but, you know, our own BS, you know. I had an experience in judgment the other day that was really surprised me, but I was grateful to recognize it, such that I'm driving down the road and I see an individual jogging down the road. And, you know, this man was, you know, fairly, not really large, but, you know, just he wasn't fit and trim, and he's jogging along. And this isn't the first time I've seen him do that. And so the thought came through my mind was, that's really nice, or that's, you know, that's really a good thing to be doing, or, you know, that's just really good to see him do that. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a judgment on my own right there. You know, I wasn't looking at, well, he, you know, this man is too large to be doing this, or he shouldn't be doing this, or he shouldn't be that. Just the fact that I acknowledged that it was something good. I mean, was that a judgment? You know, where did that come from, other than some belief or program that I run deep, deep down inside that says that's good, that's bad? You know, and through the course and everything I've experienced, is that to have the opportunity to take that to Holy Spirit and just to, you know, to ask that question is where we, you know, we can open up and have this limitless connection with God forever and ever. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it just,
I mean, the judgments can be just as minuscule as that, or it could be as debilitating as, you know, all the prejudice that we see in the world. You know, mm-hmm. that's all based on judgment. And of course, for me, you know, the way I see what we're being, you know, the course is teaching us is that judgments all go back to fear. You know, it's like, I'm threatened, or, you know, I'm going to get hurt, or someone's going to take something from me. You know, it's just a crazy cycle that the ego just loves to play in.
Oh, yes, it does. So,
I love the center of that paragraph. In fact, I love everything that we've been reading tonight. So thank you very, very much.
Oh, thank
you. And all your commentary as well, and all the questions that come up. I mean, it just opens up, I'll say, Pandora's box. And, you know, that isn't such a bad thing in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's where where I see the healing for me, and, you know, takes place, is that internal work and looking at it and leaning on Holy Spirit to guide us through it. So
thank you, Steve. You know, to respond, to what you said about, like, whether it's a minuscule judgment or you're like, oh, that's good, you know, or that's not good. It's all, you're absolutely right. It's all judgment. And that's where, that's where I just go back to the I don't know teachings in the course. Like, we literally know nothing. And so it's the Holy Spirit who judges for us. And it's also why, because I have my ideas of what's good and what's bad, but I don't actually know, you know, that's why I practice handing everything over to the Holy Spirit, not just the fears, but also the things that I love, the things that I want to keep, all the things that make me happy. Like, all of it is going to go to the Holy Spirit, because I want it all repurposed and all used on behalf of awakening, instead of, you know, any of us staying asleep. So it's all got to go. And that's a really great reminder that, you know, it's not just like the bad judgment, but like, we can say things are good, but it's still judgment. And it makes me think of that quote that I shared before about, it does not matter in the end whether you judge right or wrong. Either way, we're placing our belief in the unreal, but we have to be where we are and, you know, take it one step at a time. So thank you, Steve. And Michelle, I see your hand.
Oh,
hi.
Thanks for what you were talking about with I rest in God. I love that. I love that lesson as well. And I'm gonna try that. I think it's really, really good. I just wanted to add, just from what Andrea was sharing, the looking with the Holy Spirit that you've you talk about, Corinne, looking at the ick has been so helpful. And I mean, you really do need to be brave to look sometimes. Absolutely, it can feel absolutely horrendous, and sometimes you want to just bolt from the room. Mm-hmm. I'm going through a period of unsettling as well. I think a lot of us are. Mm-hmm. So it can be really, really intense as we're going through this. So looking with the Holy Spirit is everything, and you'll find that it's soothing, and you'll want to look with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. even though it is so intense. Mm-hmm. The other thing I just wanted to, and journaling is really, really good as well. I like that. But looking with the Holy Spirit, I just wanted to add, because I just felt moved to share one of the techniques that I've been using as well, because the emotion is so intense. And some of you may have heard of it, is the emotional freedom technique, which is tapping. I have found that extremely helpful. And I actually sit and tap every morning and look with the Holy Spirit. And it almost makes the emotion even a little bit more intense, but it does calm the nervous system, and it moves the energy. Mm-hmm. And you can still look with the Holy Spirit. And you can just, you know, and so just looking with Holy Spirit, and just, you know, do some of your course things like that, and just kind of talk through it as you tap. I find it really helpful, but mostly just looking with the Holy Spirit and just saying, okay, Holy Spirit, angels surround me with your love, and Holy Spirit, please shine your light on this. Mm-hmm. And you're just going through. So if anybody needs a little bit of information about emotional freedom technique, I'm happy to offer that. But I just felt moved to share that is a really helpful technique for anyone who's dealing with a lot of really intense emotion.
Awesome. Thank you, Michelle. And did you know that the guy who developed the emotional freedom technique was a Course in Miracles student?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. Yep. So it was something I remember.
I mean, you could, I mean, the tapping solutions is really good too for, you know, for they've got some tapping things that you can tap through on anxiety and fear and things like that. But once you get rolling with it, it's, it's really, really easy to learn, and it's really, really effective, and you can still look with the Holy Spirit. So you're just looking and tapping with the Holy Spirit. It's really effective.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for adding that. I remember hearing him speak or read. I read something at some point years ago of him saying like how much of a divine inspiration the whole process, like how I came to him. And I was just like, oh, cool. He's a course person.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Victoria. Hi.
Hi. This is my first time here too.
Welcome.
Yeah. It feels good to be here. So I just appreciate everyone sharing, and I'm really going through something super intense, and I don't know why my ego it's fear. It's definitely fear-based, and it's around a particular political person, and like I've kind of wished death on this person, and it's so horrible, and I feel so guilty. And as we're all, you know, reading, for some reason I went to the decision for God, right? I thought, okay, well, I need to read this because I'm not getting any relief from it. And I can see how I'm perpetuating it. And I love how everyone says, give it to the Holy Spirit, give it to the Holy Spirit. And I thought, that why didn't I think of that? You know, why did I think of that? And then I'm reading here where it says, you know, that it says, excluding yourself from the atonement is the ego's last ditch defense of its own existence. It reflects both the ego's need to separate and your willingness to side with its separation. This willingness means that you do not want to be healed. And I thought, well, I do want to be healed, but I don't want to look at this person and forgive them. Like, I don't want to, like, this is really messing with me. Like, I've never had a particular person or object in my life before where it's been this intense. I can't think of any person that I feel this intense inferno around, and it's I don't know how to get out of it.
So number one, good for you with the radical honesty. Like, good for you for being able to name this, because the Holy Spirit needs our radical honesty. The Holy Spirit needs us to not cover anything up and to be like, this is me in the raw. You know, this is real, like what's happening for me right now.
Like, I really think this, like, if I could, I'm not even going to, it doesn't matter. But, you know, it's like, why can't I let go of this?
So the intensity of what you're feeling, the Course says, when we have like slight annoyances, it's what you're feeling, but we've just like masked it. You know, we've just kind of subdued it to make it more socially acceptable. When we are looking at the ego, because the ego's nature is attack. It's ugly. We also have, the Course teaches that we carry an ancient hatred. Mm-hmm. And let's just like all let that settle for a moment, because this is actually something that's been coming up for me in a very big way with one of my many multiple layers of lessons from the summer. This ancient hatred, I felt completely powerless about what to do about it. Like, it's there. I can sense it. I can feel it. I can go into that fury, and it's just there. I don't know how to get at it. I don't know how to resolve it. And what came forward, and I've said this already, and it's worth hearing again. You just spoke to this about, like, you know, it's our willingness to, like, the not wanting to be healed is our will. I can't remember the quote that you said, but it was from the quote that you read. It was like, you know, there's part of us that doesn't want to heal.
This means you do not want to be healed.
What we can try to do, and this is what I've been doing, and it's been really helping me, is Corinne can't love this person. Corinne has so many grievances, you know, I'm so blocked up, but I can lean on pick whoever, whoever you feel closest with, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, and your angels, whoever it is. I'm leaning heavily on Jesus. Jesus, please love this. Like, I want to love this person like you love them.
And, I know, but I don't.
Right. No, but we don't, but we lean on Jesus to do it.
Okay.
So Jesus does it, but, and we just lean on Jesus to do it. So that's how I've been working with that. And it's been really, really helpful because I believe that we're seeing the manifestation of this ancient hatred, you know, in all ways in, on our planet right now. Like it's manifesting itself in many, many different ways. And it boils down to this.
Well, it's so interesting.
Stranger that we've allowed into our minds, which is the ego.
It's so interesting as you were just speaking, I just felt like I heard Jesus say, do you think that I can't take care of this, Victoria?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I heard that.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Remember that. Thank you, Victoria. Thank you for your honesty. I so appreciate it. I so appreciate it. Andrea.
May I share something that's been helpful for me, like with regard to what Victoria was just sharing? Because I so relate. Oh my gosh. There are times when I am just seething and really wishing just that I'm going to call him a him. There's a few of them, but I'm going to call him a him, that he would die. Like, because I get so mad in this political kind of environment. But one thing that's been helping me is sort of having a conversation with God or Holy Spirit and like, help me to see the truth of who this soul really is. It's like, is this action, is this hideous action that he just, you know, signed legislation or whatever, is that the truth of who he is? So it's like, you know, is his own fear the truth of who he really is? Like, why is he doing these things? It's probably because he's afraid. He doesn't know he's afraid, but it's because he's afraid. Is his fear the truth of who he is, really is? No. Is his contraction or his being against other people the truth of who he really is? Is his desire to hurt people who he really is? And all of that is, the answer is no. That's not the truth of who he is. He might think it is. But so I try to work with Holy Spirit and say, help me to see past those behaviors and actions, that they are happening in this illusion we call living on earth. Mm-hmm. But that the truth of who that person really is, isn't the one doing those things. Mm-hmm. It's being taken over by the ego that is doing those things. And that's probably a very painful way to be living. Mm-hmm. For that person to be being run by that fear and being run by those ego impulses. Whereas the truth underneath is what I'm trying to look at. It's a struggle, but it's helping.
That's beautiful, Andrea. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. We are being squeezed. Like this, we're being squeezed and challenged and triggered on all levels in order for us to have that moment of there's got to be another way. This isn't working. And as Andrea posted, we don't know what anything is for. We certainly don't, but gosh, do I think I do. Oh, all right. So we're actually a little over time. Thank you everybody so much for your vulnerability. Number one, your honesty, your sharing. We all learn from each other. I get so much from all of you. And if in a moment, you know, in the next week, think of us. Like, I'm sure all of us have many different opinions about many different things, but here we are committed to seeing differently, committed to remembering the truth. And so if we can just imagine our wide circle of all of us holding hands, that, you know, we're helping each other. If one person has a moment of right-mindedness, it helps, you know, it helps the rest. And obviously not just our circle, it extends beyond. One of the things that it just says, and I'll end with this, I've mentioned this many times, but in that I Rest in God lesson, which I recommend everybody check out, and the web edition of the course, I'll just pop the link in the chat. It, one of the things that it says in the lesson is that, you know, each moment that you take your rest, a tired mind is made glad. A stream long dry begins to flow again. A bird with broken wings begins to sing every time that we rest in God. So we're helping each other. We might not realize it or feel it or notice it, but we're all joined in doing this work, and we're all helping each other. I love you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great night. See you next week.
Thank you, Karen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.